Welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from Pastor Joe Henson. It was presented in July of 2010. The title of the message, Handling Your Past Biblically.
One thing we all have alike is we all have a past. And our past definitely affects our present and our future. We see that very clearly in Scripture, that what happens in the past does affect us now, and it does affect the future. All right? A person's past can be of great benefit. We see that with Joseph. We see it with David. We see it with many characters in the Scripture, that what happened in the past, even though it was wrong and sinful, had a great benefit in their life in the present and certainly helped them in the future. And the world's idea about your past really don't agree with what the Scripture has to say about it. The world's idea is basically to make us all a victim of what we've gone through in the past. And I think God's idea is totally different than that. That's not what He's after for us. Some in the church have brought the world's ideas into the church, unfortunately, through counseling and other things. And that does not help us to understand what God says about our past. So He wants us to handle things in a way that is in agreement with what the Scripture has said. All right, so that's what we've been talking about here. We made the statement for you, if it has been confessed, then rejoice in God's forgiveness. And we need to do that. Then what do? We learn the lessons that we need to learn. And then the next idea is very important. You move on. You keep on going. And this is what you want to avoid. Well, don't simply just wallow in the past. Don't let the past be the thing that holds you down. That is not going to help anything. It's not going to help you. The opposite of rejoicing is wallowing. And God doesn't want us to spend time wallowing in the past. Now, well, let's talk about reasons why a person might wallow in the past. Why do they want to live there? Why do they want to think about that? Well, let's see what we've got here. Maybe, first of all, they haven't truly forsaken the sin. What does Proverbs 28, verse 13 say? You remember that? He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Interesting, cover. The Hebrew word for cover here is to cover up, to conceal, to hide. A person that's trying to hide their sin is not going to be very successful. He's going to have a hard time with his past. Adam Clark put it this way, the commentator. This phrase, he that covereth his sins. Here is a general direction relative to that to conversion, he says. He says it this way. Number one, if the sinner does not acknowledge his sins, if he covers and excuses them and refuses to come to the light of God's Word and Spirit, lest his deeds should be reproved, he shall find no salvation. God will never admit a sinful, unhumbled soul into his heaven. He secondly says, but he that confesses his sins with a penitent and broken heart and by forsaking every evil way, give this proof that he feels his own sore and the plague of his heart, then he shall have mercy. Here is a doctrine of vital importance to the salvation of the soul, which the weakest may understand. Wow. Yes, it's very important that a person humbles himself. Good points. What does God want? He wants us to come contritely. He wants us to be humble when we come. He blesses the humble. He stiff arms the proud. Right? We see that in other places. Now, the word confesseth here. Our profession of guilt is confession to God of sins against Him. To men of sins against them. In other words, confession. In other words, I am being honest. I am saying what I have done. All right, that's what he means to confess the sin here. Concealment of sins delivers none but God's wrath, but he shows mercy to the humble, to the penitent, to those who will be honest there. Take a look with me, if you would, at Psalm 32, verses 3 through 5. We've mentioned this before, but there is other things that happen when we try to hold on to our sin. Notice what David says here, Psalm 32. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. He said while he tried to cover it up, to hang on to it, what happened? There were some physical issues that even happened with his own body because of his trying to cover up sin. But when he acknowledged it, when he treated it correctly, what happened? He found forgiveness with the Lord. The Lord is there and he does forgive sin. Proverbs 28 verse 13 that we've been looking at, Kylan Delitzsch, the Hebrew guys that are translators, translated it this way. He that denieth his sin shall not prosper. Oh, okay. Hey, you know, I don't sin. No. No, you see, when we deny sin, we cannot prosper. But he goes on here, but he that acknowledgeth and forsaketh it shall have mercy. The idea of forsaking here is very important. Notice the verse doesn't say, he who doesn't hide his sin but confesses it shall have mercy. That's not what it says. So I don't hide my sin, I confess my sin, I can have mercy. Is that what the verse says? No. Isn't what it says. I left out the word forsaketh, right? Think about that verse. Let me say it again. That's Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. To confess and to forsake. Why do some Christians constantly bring up sins in their past, do you think? Because some do. They want to talk about the sins in their past all the time. Maybe it's because they haven't taken the steps necessary to put distance between the sin and their daily life. Maybe they have not forsaken the sin yet. Confession is important, but confession is only the first step here, folks. I have to confess my sins. By the way, confession isn't for God's benefit. Let me remind you of that. God knows all about me. He knows what I do. So when I confess my sins, it's not because He's ignorant of it. Confession is for my benefit because it humbles me. But there's more to it. He says we must confess it, and then the next step is the hard work of forsaking the sin. This word forsake is a very powerful word in the Old Testament. Let me give you a couple of references here. Genesis chapter 39. You remember the story here when Joseph is trapped by Potiphar's wife? It says in verse 12 here, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he, here you go, left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. What did he do with his coat? Hey guys, he forsook it. Phew. He's gone. I'm out of here. I heard a guy say it this way. Joseph's standing there and she's got a hold of his coat and he says, feet don't fail me now. Get me out of here. And he leaves the coat in her. He forsook the coat. He left it. He left it in the dust. 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse 7 is another example of this. And when the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley, and they that were on the other side of the Jordan, saw the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled. And the Philistines came and dwelt in them. What happened to the children of Israel? They saw Saul was dead. They didn't think they had a prayer. They left home. They left their city. They got out. They said no more. They forsook it completely. What did they do? They abandoned their cities. They left them in a huge hurry, never to return again, is the idea here. Take a look at Proverbs 9, verse 6. Another good example here, it simply says this, forsake the foolish and live. Go in the way of understanding. So what should the child of God do with foolish people? Remember Roadrunner and Coyote? Man, Coyote, or Roadrunner, pew, he's gone. That's the picture here. He's out of here. He's not going to hang around with foolish people. The point of the verse is, have nothing to do with foolish people. Forsake them, he says. Now, what's the point of all this? It's not just that we confess our sins. We have to understand that. Yes, we confess our sins because God says to, and that's good for us. It humbles us. But guys, we have to understand that there has to be the forsaking of sin. If we don't leave the sin alone, if we don't leave it in the past, then it's going to be something that will constantly come back and haunt us. We've got to put distance between ourselves and the sin. He wants us to leave the sin. He wants us to abandon the sin. He wants us to have nothing to do with the sins in the past. And such were some of you, Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. That's what you used to be like. No more, you're different now. Three ways that you can forsake your sin that will help you here. First of all, behaviorally. In other words, whatever the behavior was, stop. You don't have to keep going down the same road again. Quit. Don't do it. Change what you're doing. Change what you have been doing. Proverbs 26:11. As the dog returns, if you've ever had pets, you understand that. We understand it. And that's exactly what a dog does. Hey guys, that's exactly what we're doing when we return to our sin day after day after day after day. That's the picture. God says, forsake it. Stay away from it. That's how a fool returns to his folly. Stay away from it. So behaviorally first. Secondly, we need to stop it mentally. Don't just stop doing the action, but stop thinking about it. Stop dwelling on it. Stop reliving it vicariously through other people. Turn off the CD players. Turn off the DVD player in your brain. Stop reliving it mentally. You control your thoughts. You control your mind. And in the third way, behaviorally, mentally, the third idea here for forsaking it is to do it biblically. Handle it right. We're not just talking about something, stopping something that's sinful. We're talking about forsaking it. We're talking about forsaking a sinful habit. We're talking about leaving it back in the past where it was. By the way, just trying to stop it, it isn't going to work unless two things are true. First, you got to have a personal relationship with God. You don't have the strength in yourself to say no to sin. Except for this fact, Romans chapter 6 tells me that as a believer, that sin is no longer my master. Thank you, Lord. So without a personal relationship, it's impossible. You know Christ, it is possible. It's very possible for you to say no to sin. It is not your master anymore. And then secondly, you need a growing understanding of God's Word. If you're not growing in the Word, it's going to be very, very difficult for you to say no to sin. I've got to know the Word. I've got to see what it says. After you've confessed the sin, now God wants us to rejoice. Why? Why should I be glad once I've confessed it? Because there's forgiveness. Yes, forgiveness with the Lord. If that doesn't make you happy, folks, I don't know what will. Now it's time not just to rejoice. Now I need to start learning some lessons here. We'll talk about going to God's grad school here in just a minute. But I got to start learning some things. And there's some important lessons I need to start learning now that I have seen God's forgiveness here. But then I need to move on into the present and into the future. Leave that sin in the past, back there where it was. Now, again, it's not going to happen unless I forsake them behaviorally. I change my behavior. Secondly, mentally, I stop the thinking. Thirdly, biblically, I have God's help. I have that relationship with Christ. Now I have the power through Christ to say no to the sin that used to bind me. I can do that now. If you haven't forsaken your sin, probably you're going to be doing some wallowing. Probably so. And as a result of the wallowing, you're going to be unproductive for the kingdom of God. Folks, if we are living in the past, wallowing in the sin, there's no way that God can use us in the present, much less in the future. Now, here's a second reason a person might have trouble with this idea of thinking he's forgiven. All right, maybe they're wrongly equating being forgiven with the sin of having forgotten that they ever did that sin. Yeah, there are people that think a little differently here. For instance, you've always heard this idea, forgive and forget. Sounds good, doesn't it? Kind of poetic. What's wrong with that? So maybe we should be forgiven and just forget about the sin. You know what my problem is? I can't. It's there. And there are little things in life that come up that remind me of what happened back there. Some people believe there's a relationship between being completely forgiven by God and then forgetting that the incident totally happened. And they think it should never, ever come back to their minds again. And if it comes back to their minds, then that must be a sign that they've really not been forgiven. No, not at all, folks. Not at all. True or false? If a person has truly been forgiven by God, he will never remember a past sin. True or false? False. False. True or false? If a person has genuinely been forgiven by God, he or she will always feel forgiven. Every moment of every day. False. False. Here's a third one. If a person ever remembers a sin committed in the past, this is always sinful and always wrong and always unproductive for him. False. It can be very productive. It can be very helpful. All right? Now, some people wrestle with the issue because they wrongly believe that if they were really forgiven by God, then they would always feel forgiven. Or they'll completely forget about the sin. They'll never remember it again. Folks, those two things are not true. Because they don't always feel forgiven, or because they're reminded of the sin occasionally, they think somehow God has just not forgiven them for that sin. That isn't true, folks. Did you know the Bible, no place that I can find, and I've read through the Scripture several times, I'm sure you have too, I cannot find a place that shows me how to feel forgiven. Can you? Bible never tells us to feel forgiven. Just like it never says, here's how you feel when you're saved. I can't find in Scripture anything that tells me that. All right, now, Romans chapter 6, verse 11. You may want to turn there for a moment. Romans 6, 11, what does Paul say? What he says is very important here. He says this, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says to reckon. What does that word reckon mean? Hey, it all has to do with how you think. He tells us we need to think, and what we think is important, how we think is important. We need to develop the ability to think saved. Okay, when you're born again, now how should you be thinking? By the way, you can't develop that if you're not in the Word of God, because God tells us in the Word how we need to be thinking. When I start feeling things like, well, you know, I don't know if God really loves me or if He really forgave me, that's a problem with how I'm thinking, folks. My old sin is going to keep me out of heaven. Wait a minute. That's a problem with how you're thinking. Does God really love me? That's a problem in how you think, according to what Scripture says. We have to get control of our minds. Today we like to say, get a grip! wait a minute. Let's think right. Let's think scripturally here. What does Peter say? He tells us in 1:13 to buckle up the belts of our minds. Bring into captivity your thoughts. Take control of what you're thinking about. I need to have an argument with myself sometimes. Here's what I need to say. I need to argue with my mind when it starts going astray, and I need to remember that God promised to forgive me of that sin. And He will keep His promise regardless of how I feel. Amen? I need to argue with myself and realize that when my feelings contradict what the Bible says, I have to ignore my feelings, not the Scripture. My feelings can change only about 80 times a day or more. The Scripture will not. So I need to argue with myself and remind myself that this is true. And what I'm feeling may have absolutely no basis in Scripture at all. Now, what about the idea that if I was really forgiven, that sin and the event would be completely erased from my memory? We've already said in this series of lessons that memory is a good thing. Memory is a blessing from God. Because if we didn't have memory, there's a whole lot of problems we would have in life. And there's a whole lot of blessings we miss out on as well. I think all of us, in fact, I'm sure all of us have done some pretty stupid things in the past. Right? I mean, some things that you start to think about and you go, oh, how in the world? Why did I even go down that road? Don't raise a hand, but I think we all know we've all been there. Now, there's a huge difference, guys, in purposefully wallowing in that sin and laying there in it like the hog in the mud. There's a huge difference in doing that and that thought coming back into my mind of what happened. There are times, in fact, this summer, for instance, when I am back in my own home setting where I grew up, and I'll drive down the road And I go past the place and I remember a person or an event that's happened in my life that I'm not especially proud of. And every time I go past that spot, I remember what happened there. Is that sinful? No, not in and of itself. Now, what I do with it could be sinful. But you see, if I use that and I rejoice and I say, Lord, thank you for forgiving me for that. And I can move on from there and say, God, you have blessed me tremendously. Folks, there are times that I'm going to remember things that happened in the past. That does not mean that I was not forgiven. I have to understand that. Nor does it mean that I sin just because I haven't forgotten it yet. Because memory is a gift from God. These times of remembering can be good if we handle them this way. Lord, thank you because you forgave me for that sin. Did God save you for what you were? Or did He save you in spite of what you were? In spite of what I was. He saved me in spite of what I was. Not because of what I was. And that's a good time to say, Lord, thank you for your grace and mercy and help. And helping me take specific steps to avoid that sinful practice. Well, it's unreasonable to think we're always going to feel forgiven. Or we're always going to feel completely, that we always forget about everything completely. That's unreasonable. It ain't going to happen. All right? Now, let me give you a third reason why a person may want to live in the past. And that is simply this. It's a point of pride. Maybe it's just a point of pride. Okay? What do you mean by that? Well, when we say with our lips, or what we say with our lips can really be an indication of what's in our heart. Pastor says it this way, the tongue is the dipstick to the heart. You want to know what a person's heart has in it? Listen what comes out of their mouth. All right, now, let me make a statement here. Do these statements sound familiar? I can't believe I did that. Or, I can't believe I said that. Now, yes, we all use that phrase innocently. All right? But is it possible? Is it possible? What we might really be saying is, I can't believe a wonderful person like me could have ever actually done that. It is possible that I'm thinking like that, isn't it? Or, how could a great guy like me ever have said anything like that? Can you see any pride in those statements? Before long, we begin to think, what will everybody think of wonderful me when they hear that? That isn't the issue here, folks. You see, that kind of pride will cause us to wallow in our sin instead of handling it the way that God says we need to handle it. And we don't want to do that. The same kind of pride is going to cause us to make the same mistakes again. If I start saying, I don't have to change the kind of people I run with, I can handle it next time. I've heard guys say that. What happens next time? They usually fall in the same ditch again. Or, I don't have to change the places I go. That was a one-time mistake. It'll never happen again. Well, look out. I don't have to get really religious. You know, studying the Bible, changing my lifestyle, I really don't need that. I'll be okay. Folks, those people are setting themselves up for the fall. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, write that down in your notes. It's a great verse. Paul said it this way, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. You think you got it conquered? Guess what? You're fixing to fall on your nose. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. So when we are wallowing in our sin because we think we're so wonderful that it's just beyond any comprehension that such a wonderful person could ever have done such a thing, we're setting ourselves up to do the very same thing over again. Another reason people like to wallow in the past might be because they have a wrong view of sin. For instance, many people are still tied to the past because they confessed and asked forgiveness for a sin, but then they concluded that their request with one word that really changes everything. You ever heard someone do that? Lord, please forgive me for blowing up at that person, but you know I'm codependent. Lord, please forgive me for beating my wife, but you know I'm schizophrenic. Lord, please forgive me for failing the test. I know I should have studied, but the doc says I got ADHD. Lord, please forgive me for getting drunk. But Lord, you know I've had a rough life. You see, our world has an excuse for every problem you can come up with. There's an excuse for it. In fact, for $120 an hour, they'll be glad to tell you what excuses you should use for whatever your problem is. And you can leave with a diagnosis of some addiction or sickness, even if you didn't have it when you went in. Folks, we've got to understand that many here today have had difficult pasts. Many of us have had difficult pasts. We've got to get this straight. I cannot use the excuse, I had to do that. I cannot use that excuse. I had to hit her. No, I didn't. I had to say that. No, I didn't. I had to drink that. No. I had to do that. No, I can't use that excuse. I had to. That's as silly as the old comedian years ago saying, "The devil made me do it." No, he didn't. You see, we've got to get rid of the unbiblical talk that leads to an unbiblical view of sin. Well, you see, I have this problem with a phobia. Okay? Well, it's just my addiction. It's only a sickness. Or it's a problem with whatever. You could fill in the blank with anything, and they'll give you an excuse that will help you feel better. I heard about a guy that went to the doctor, and the doctor examined him, checked him out, and he said, "Sir, there's nothing wrong with you. You're just lazy." He said, "Well, can you give me that in medical terms so my friends will be impressed?" Yeah, we're all looking for an excuse why it's okay for us to be whatever we want to be. And guys, as long as we're going down that road, we have a wrong view of what sin is all about. And we will never change if that is true. In Hebrews, the writer talks about priests that are condemned because they are continually offering sacrifices that can never take away sin. Until I call sin what it is and turn to Christ in confession and forgiveness, I'll be forced to wallow in the past. Why? Because I haven't genuinely handled the issues yet. Until I honestly handle the issues in the past, I will continue to struggle with them.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled "Handling Your Past Biblically" from Pastor Joe Henson. It was originally presented in July of 2010 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. You can send us a message by visiting our website, hbcguam.org, hbcguam.org, and thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.